Teamwork in ministry.
You probably would like to turn to Acts 15, verse 36. I won't have any of this scripture on the overhead, so you're going to need to look in your Bible if you want to follow along that way. I want to talk a little bit about ministry this morning. I want to talk, first of all, just to kind of lead into this, some ministries that Esther and I have been involved in. Perhaps I am more than she because I've been a pastor, and another time I was a teacher in a Christian school. But in every place I've been, she's been a vital part of my ministry. My first full-time ministry was back in a town of Rexford, Kansas. Clear back served there from 74 to 78. And this is the picture taken, found us on the internet in 1960. And I see a 1958 Chevy there and a 1959 Chevy with those sweeping headlights and big fins. Didn't you love that era? That was back in 1960. That picture was taken then. But we served there. Another ministry we were in was in Edwardstown Baptist Church in South Australia. This building certainly was not there when we were there. We were there from 78 to 82, and this building has been, a big auditorium has been built recently, and that's a ministry that we had. And then while I was there in Australia, we helped start Adelaide College of Ministries. They didn't have this facility. They purchased new facilities, and this is the chapel today. After we came back from Australia, I served in James Valley Christian School. My wife helped me, because she helped create a lot of papers for me. We had the kids, by the way, memorize verses in Bible class, about five verses a week. So they had to write them out. So she did all that grading. Following that, we were in the Bethel Baptist Church in Newell, Iowa. That was just before we came here. Those are some ministries we've been involved in. And in keeping with the theme of today, in each of those cases, there came a time for that ministry to end and the teamwork to end and change. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Here's some ministries you may be involved in, and I didn't get a whole lot, but some of you might have been involved in VBS last summer, and I'm sure there's going to be another VBS. Anybody tell me when our VBS is going to be this year? Not yet. Okay. Can you give me a ballpark figure? Probably toward the end of the summer?
Yeah, probably August.
Sometime in August, like it was last year. Yeah. So I'm sure that Jeremiah and whoever directs that thing, Melissa, will be glad to have you help out in that. Some of you help out in the WANA ministry. And we have other ministries in our church, like teaching Sunday school, Bible studies, and we have you know, helping out in the nursery, all kind of stuff. Our main point today is that team ministry by the rules is productive. Team ministry by the rules is productive. Now, let me suggest that there is a precedent for team ministry in the New Testament. For example, Jesus, he had his 12 disciples. They were a team. And he summoned the 12 in Mark 6:7, and he began to send them out in pairs. And he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. There's something to be said for being part of a little bigger team and then working together alongside, shoulder to shoulder with someone else. There's a precedent for that in the New Testament. Luke 10:1, on a subsequent time, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs. So you've got the bigger group, 70 going out as a team, but again, you're subdividing into small teams of two. Don't you like doing something that's kind of scary with somebody else? It's always good to have moral support, and I'm sure they appreciated that. Scott, you've been probably a number of countries around the world, I suppose, with Gideons, is that correct?
Two?
Okay. And I think you mentioned there are about 24 of you on this bus, is that right? So it's helpful to have numbers when you're going into a place that's a little stressful. It's helpful to have numbers, and then Did you go into individual places two by two, or how did you do that?
Yeah, we usually teamed up with a local Gideon. Okay.
Okay, so you went two by two where you went to places. Now here's another one. In Acts 13:1, we looked at this. By the way, I'm going to start, you say, where are we going now? We're starting over again in the middle of Acts, end of chapter 15, just where we left off several months ago, and hopefully get to the end as time goes on. Now there were at Antioch, and by the way, I'm going to probably try to, you send suggestions sometimes. I'm going to try to not necessarily cover a whole chapter time, so make it a little shorter, briefer ground recover, so maybe you don't get lost in the shuffle. Now, there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and he might have been a black man, by the way. Niger is black in some languages. And Lucius of Nicene and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So five guys serving in this church as a team. Now look at this, Acts 13:2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So you had a team of five guys working in this church. The Holy Spirit said, "I want two of those to go on a special ministry." Now, there's something going to happen to this team. In the passage you're looking at today, the team is going to fall apart. So, that's the first section we're going to look at, Acts 15:36-39. What happens when your team falls apart? Now, I want to make a clarification. What do we mean by a team falling apart? I do not mean marriage. I'm not talking about that team. Okay? We're not talking about getting a divorce here. That's completely outside the context. Whatever I'm going to say now has nothing to do with staying married. So don't even, just put that out of your minds. I put it in your minds, but get it out, okay? Not talking about that. We're talking rather about a ministry team, okay? You're serving the Lord together, and sometimes that changes. The makeup of that team changes. Those are a group of people. I think that's Josh and Amy and Rachel involved in a, was that last year? Yeah, okay. They're involved in VBS last year, and you're part of a team. If you're in VBS, you're part of a team. What happens when that changes? All right, team falls apart. Let's look at Acts 15, starting in verse 36. Paul had a desire in Acts 15:36 to reconnect with churches that they'd already established, people they'd already brought to Christ. Verse 36, after some days, this is after they got back from their first trip, Acts 15, they had what we call the Jerusalem Council. They had to settle some issues there. Not going to review all that. After that, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, his teammate, "Let us return and visit the brethren," that means the Christians, "in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." They had been on their first trip to the island of Cyprus. Then they'd gotten into part of what we call modern-day Turkey. Today we'd call Turkey the southern part of that. They'd visit some towns there. They'd go to a synagogue, talk about Jesus. A lot of the people's hearts were prepared, especially the Jewish people. They would trust in Jesus. Some of the Jewish people would, but a lot of them wouldn't. But a lot of the Gentiles were part of that synagogue. They didn't have the hang-ups that the Jewish people, and they bought into Jesus being the Messiah. And then they get kicked out of the synagogue. Paul would have them meet somebody else. He have a brand new church start. So now they planted several churches along the way. Now it's time, Paul says, to go back and visit them. All right, verse 37, Barnabas desired to take along John Mark. Verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. If you go back earlier in chapter 13, yeah, we'll show you what happened there in just a moment. So, and Barnabas had some reasons for wanting to take John Mark along. First of all, Barnabas was a guy who's, I like to call him Sonny. He was called, his nickname was Son of Encouragement. And so he was the kind of guy who lifts the spirits of everybody he's around. And he liked John Mark. And John Mark had helped them out on their first trip. And he wanted to take them along again. And there's another reason that he liked him is because they were cousins. Don't know how close a cousin they were, but they were relatives. You have a problem because Paul adamantly refused. Verse 38. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along. And his reason is because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. I'm jumping back to Acts 13:13. Now Paul and his, this is on the first trip, Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem. And Paul remembered them. Remember that. He says, I'm not going to take a quitter along this trip with me. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Well, verse 39, the team members could not resolve their differences. Verse 39a. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement. That's an interesting word. It's the word paroxysmos, and we get our English word paroxysm, a violent convulsion. So they had a violent convulsion between themselves. They could not agree on this thing. And sadly, the team broke up. Paul or Barnabas broke away from Paul. Verse 39b. They had such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. In verse, okay, some thoughts about that. We'll finish up on that in just a little bit. Some thoughts to consider. Follow-up is always a good idea. If you help somebody find Jesus and trust in him, it's always a good idea to follow up on them and help them become established in their faith in him. Sometimes maybe it's not possible, but whenever possible, it's good. Always good to get follow up, help them consolidate what they've done, make them get help them become part of a body believer somewhere that trusts in Jesus and worships him and serves him. Follow up is always a good idea. Some Christians are more interested in giving those who have failed a second chance. And probably sometimes it's a matter of personality just as much as anything else. We already know that Barnabas is a very positive, warm, and caring guy. He's the one who first took Saul, who became Paul, under his wing. Everybody else was afraid of Paul because he had been the church's greatest persecutor. And he had taken Paul under his wing. And they were like that. And now it's really sad to see this group break apart. But Paul's personality was more choleric, hard-driving, more aggressive type, more type A. And he couldn't be bothered with somebody who had already proven he wasn't going to serve Jesus. He says, not going to give him another chance. Even the most committed Christians can disagree on policy. We're not talking about doctrine. Not debating whether Jesus is actually God or not. Not debating whether the Bible is the Word of God or not. We're talking about policy. And when you have policy, there's always room for opinion. And you're going to have even committed Christians can disagree on policy. That happens in this church. I don't know if you knew that. It happens in this church. People disagree on policy. Don't need to get specific, but it happens. Okay. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, we cannot keep our team together. That's kind of sad, but if you're going to serve Jesus, you'll find that that does happen sometimes. So, that's the end of that part. Let's go on to the next part, verses 40 to 16:3. Have you considered adding someone to your team? Maybe there's someone today who's here, sitting here, and they say, you know, Jim, you have no way of knowing this, but what you're saying just hits me right in the heart because I was part of a team and it got blown apart and I just feel like I'm left out doing nothing and I'm discouraged. Well, maybe this is God's word to you today. Have you considered adding someone to your team? Someone left your team, have you considered adding someone to your team? Verses 40 to 41, Paul chose Silas. Verse 40, But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. So, Paul chose Silas and he left. Verse 40. And the broader team, that is the church that was at Antioch there, because that's where they were, supported that. Okay, yeah, we know you guys, Paul and Barnabas, broke up. But Barnabas went on taking John Mark. If you want to take Silas, we'll support you in that. We're sorry that this disagreement happened. But the good part of it is now we have two teams going out. That was a good part of it. And the broader team supported what Paul did there. Paul and Silas followed the original game plan, but Paul and Silas did not go to Cyprus where Barnabas and John Mark went. They went right away up to Turkey, the second part of that original journey. So there you have it. Cyprus is in green. That's where John Mark and Barnabas are going. The lower part of Turkey, what's in pink, that's where Paul and Silas were going to go. All right. Now, in chapter 16, 1-3, Paul added Timothy to his team. 16, 1-3. All right. Your prospective team member may seem a bit unorthodox. Let's read verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. And a disciple was there. A disciple simply means a learner, one who's a follower of Jesus and is learning how to follow him. And his name was Timothy. And here's what was different about him. He was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So evidently his father, Luke doesn't give us enough information. Was he a believer? Might not have been. You had a mixed marriage. Jewish women didn't marry Gentiles. See, that whole culture would have been foreign to Paul's way of thinking. Paul would never have thought of marrying a Gentile, I don't think. And certainly a guy like Peter never would have thought of marrying a Gentile. But here's here's a woman, she was a believer in Jesus. She was Jewish, she's a Jewish Christian, but she'd married a Gentile. And they've got a son. You almost get the feeling that the father of Timothy was not a believer. He was not antagonistic because he married a Jewish woman. But it doesn't say that he was a believer. You almost get the impression he wasn't. So your prospective team member may seem a bit unorthodox. In this case, he was younger. He was younger. We don't know how old Timothy was, but he was a younger guy. Maybe he was the same age as John Mark had been. We don't know. But he was younger. And certainly he came from a different culture because he came from a culture that wasn't either Gentile or Jewish. And the people that had been working on this team with Paul before, they were all 100% Jewish. They were Christians, but they were Jewish. Now, if you take this guy along with you, it's going to be a little bit different. Some change is going to come. So, what are you going to do about it? Well, your prospect that you have for your new team needs to have a good reputation, whatever. And Timothy seems to have that. Verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brethren, the Christians, who are in Lystra and Iconium. So even though this Paul didn't know much about him, he latched eyes onto him. He began hearing reports about him. This guy's got some good qualities. He has a good reputation. People speak highly of him. All right. Verse 3. We always need a plan to train the younger generation. Verse 3. Paul wanted this man to go with him. And so it's interesting to me, you watch where Paul goes and everywhere he goes, he's always got people with him. And sometimes he'll send this person out on this mission, send someone out there, but he's got people with him all the time. He's training them up and he's giving them, what's the word I'm looking for? An apprenticeship. He's giving these guys an apprenticeship and letting them work, get on-the-job training. We need a plan to do that. This church needs a plan to train the younger generation to serve the Lord, okay? Your new team member may require some adjustments. Look what Paul did. He took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So circumcision is a sign, a Jewish sign, that you're one of Abraham's descendants, and you want to be part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And circumcision was a necessary sign for Jewish people. This was a he was half Jew, half Gentile. But Paul had him circumcised so he would not be a problem in the Jewish synagogues that they'd go to down the road. Okay, verses 4 and 5, keeping in harmony with team rules. Verse 4, it is good to follow team policies. Now, verse 4, while they were passing through the cities, that's the cities that they'd visited before, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. Remember, the issue had come up in chapter 15. Should we require all Gentiles who get saved to become circumcised? And the answer was no, we shouldn't, because that's a Jewish thing. Just lay upon the Gentiles a few things that are really aggravating to Jewish people so that they don't become offensive to them. And so we're not going to force them to obey the whole law of Moses from Genesis through Deuteronomy. Not going to make them obey all that. Just a few minimal things. I won't go into that. So as they went, though, Paul and now Silas are delivering these instructions to all the churches, keeping them all the same on the same page. It's good to follow team policies. And verse 5, that's when we see the most growth. Verse 5 says, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. You have the most growth in the church when we follow the policies that the churches decide upon. And you're out there working, trying to make sure that people are following Jesus. You're doing follow-up work, making sure they're all on the same page. And you see the most growth when you keep the rules. Now, what do we want to remember from this morning? First of all, a team ministry is typical in the New Testament. Don't try to be a lone wolf. Find somebody you can team up with in any way as a Christian to look out after the spiritual well-being of other people. Team ministry is typical. Sometimes teams change, and that can be painful. Maybe sometimes there are irreconcilable differences, like there seem to be between Paul and Barnabas. But sometimes God is just doing something different. And he has a way of, even in spite of us sometimes, saying, look, here's where we're going to go with this. It may be a little painful, but I've got a new direction for us to go. Sometimes God is just doing something different. Changes can be painful. That's true. They can be painful, but don't play the blame game. Bitterness doesn't get you anywhere. Resentment doesn't get you anywhere. I wish we had been able to record the sermon that Steve Leach preached here quite a few months ago about the folly of resentment. Man, that was powerful. You're just hurting yourself and you're hurting other people. Don't be resentful. If your team broke up and you're sad about that, don't be resentful. Give your resentment to God. Don't hang on to yourself. It'll just be an acid in your soul. Don't do that. Don't play the blame game. And team up with a new teammate. All right. Main thing we want to learn is that team ministry by the rules is productive. So let us find people we can team. And we are a team here. But you probably need a smaller team, a smaller group that you can work with, individuals or a small group that you can be part of to be the most productive. Let's bow in prayer. God, I want to thank you that you've shown us that teamwork is very, very important in Scripture. And sometimes we go through a painful progress of having a team ministry that breaks up. And that's painful, but that doesn't mean we have to give up. It just means we might have to start working with somebody else, maybe have a different emphasis. Going to be some adjustments, some changes. May need to get some new people involved. But Lord, help us not to give up and to serve you. And we would like for your word to be the most productive. And when we're busy serving you the best we can, that's the way your word is most productive, as you use it through us and through our ministry. So guide each person here. Show each person how he can be involved and part of a team ministry, however that is. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be part of the greatest team, Team Jesus, and to see as many people come to know him as possible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.